We are joined by a senior writer for CBS Sports. You have also heard him on the CBS Eye on College Basketball podcast. Matt Norlander is my guest. Matt, great to have you back. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Wonderful Friday, Jim. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Great, bud. Great. Great to talk to you. I know you're in Storrs, Connecticut right now, which I'll get to in just one moment. But let me ask you this. You're a young guy, but you've been covering college basketball for quite some time. What do you make of Porter Moser and the Loyola Ramblers?
I'm making it that it's the best NCAA tournament story that we've had since George Mason in 2006. And I know that we've had Butler and VCU and Wichita State get there, and it's been awesome. But Loyola has got something terrific about it. And it's not just the Sister Jean stuff, and she's gone international. She's gone galactic, to be frank. She's awesome. But this team is so good. They move the ball so well. I was talking with some Missouri Valley coaches, and they said, listen, they don't waste possessions. Every single time they've got five guys on the floor, which is all the time, they're always moving the ball. They can all pass the ball so well. So when you watch them, and when you saw them play against Nevada last night, after a little bit of a shaky start, they were so strong, and it was beautiful basketball. It was almost San Antonio Spurs-like. So they are a tremendous story, but also a tremendous team. This team is legit. And fortunately, they won the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament title to get in with an automatic bid, because if they did not do that, I kind of cringe to think that maybe they would have been left out of the tournament and we would have been robbed of one of the great stories of this great event of the past 3 to 4 decades.
No, it's such a great point. It literally is one of the best stories I've ever seen. I mean, if you talk about a small Jesuit school like that, and when you think about what they have or what they don't have and their resources and their facilities, the fact that they're in the Elite Eight to me is a miracle in and of itself. But they're a win away from the Final Four. They're not just in the Elite Eight. In fact, Matt, let me ask you this. If you took the 11 away from Loyola's name, in fact, if you took Loyola's name away from Loyola's name and you only look at the numbers, how good is this team?
Yeah, they are one of the 25 best teams in the sport. There's no doubt about it. I thought they were actually underseeded when they got in the tournament. I thought they deserved to be in that 8-9 game based on what they had done and the fact that they had won at Florida. And, yeah, because they've got the 11 next to their name, because they've got Loyola, because they haven't been in the tournament since 1985, they've got a heavy Cinderella feel to them. But I've said earlier this week, this team is really, really good. They are a Cinderella in terms of a storyline, but not in terms of their capability. They can get to the Final Four. I think they will. I thought they were going to do that when I thought they were going to play Kentucky in the Elite Eight. And Clayton Custer is just tremendous. He's the Missouri Valley Player of the Year. And what makes them so dangerous is that although Custer is their best player, there's really, you'll sometimes hear coaches say this, but with Loyola, it's really true. Their second option is basically five other guys, and they're all equally capable of beating you. Jim, did you see how they were living around the rim last night and just killing Nevada?
Oh, yeah.
With reverse layups and back cuts? It was insane. It was beautiful basketball. And if they make the Final Four, obviously that's going to stand as one of the biggest stories in sports this year. And it will make 2018, this NCAA tournament, one of the most memorable ever, no matter what happens after that, because we'll have Loyola in the Final Four and obviously out of the same region, UMBC being the first 16 to be to one.
Matt Norlander joining us. It was beautiful basketball. I could not believe the way they attacked the basket over and over and over again and the way they moved the ball. But, Matt, I never thought that I'd say this. I said that when Nevada made their run, because you knew they would, they always do. However, and I didn't think I'd ever say it, Loyola is not Texas. Loyola is not Cincinnati. Loyola is something totally different altogether. Now, let me ask you about Kansas State. They were not expected to make much noise at all in the tournament. In fact, Matt, most of the noise around K-State basketball has been from K-State fans who wanted to get rid of Bruce Weber. What do you make of the job that he's done in the tournament, essentially without their best player?
It's been an amazing thing for Kansas State, which was projected to be eighth in the Big 12. And the Big 12 is the best league in college basketball. But you said it, Jim. K-State fans have wanted Bruce Weber out for years. This is not a secret. They have been lobbying for this, despite the fact that he is now in his fourth NCAA tournament in 6 seasons there. And here's an Elite Eight run out of the blue, out of nowhere. And they got a little bit of a favor in having to face UMBC in the second round, but whatever. The bracket breaks the way it breaks, and you take advantage of the opportunities in front of you. And Kansas State last night proved what it has basically established over the past 2 months. It really is one of the 15 to 20 best defensive teams in the country. And the fact that it faced a Kentucky team that wasn't good from three-point range, that was filled with freshmen, and that was playing well but has been up and down all season, they took advantage, and man, did they make some really, really opportunistic baskets. And this tournament is just amazing, Jim, because we've never had a 9 versus an 11 in an Elite Eight game. It's the first time it's ever happened. Those combined seeds, obviously, are 20. That shatters the modern era record, which was 15, and we saw that in 2000 and 2002. And I understand why people want to see the big-time programs, the blue bloods, the mainstream appeal in this Elite Eight and Final Four. But for me, we're going to get that tonight. We got that on the right side of the bracket, you know, Villanova and Duke and Kansas. I love when we get the unprecedented. That's why the NCAA tournament every single year is such a rewarding viewing experience, because it will always give you something we've never seen before. And what we're going to get there is either Kansas State or Loyola getting to the Final Four for the first time since the early 1960s.
See, that's my thing too, Matt. I mean, we're going to get the Blue Bloods. We'll get the Blue Chips. I can't stop thinking about Loyola, though. I just, for the life of me, I can't imagine a program that size with what they have, as I mentioned, haven't been there in three decades, and they get there and they get to the Elite Eight, and now they're 40 minutes away from the Final Four. We can have all those things. The tournament is amazing. Now, as I mentioned, Matt, you're in Storrs, Connecticut. You're there for Dan Hurley's introductory presser. You spent a lot of time around him lately. You had a great piece on him earlier this season, so you've got a sense of who he is, what he's about, how he approaches things. He had a very good thing going at Rhode Island, so why do you think he made this move?
Yeah, he had a great thing going at Rhode Island, and if he wanted, with what they offered, he had the potential to really rule the Atlantic 10 the next 5 to 7 years. But he takes this job here at UConn because you have to. This kind of job comes up maybe once in your life, and he had the unusual position of picking between Pitt and the ACC, more money, less pressure, or going to a historic program like UConn, which has four national titles since 1999. So ultimately, he doesn't have to leave too far from where he was. Obviously, he's a Northeast guy, and the program still has a big pull. I understand that the fan base for UConn, they don't like the fact that they're in the American Athletic Conference. They're not in the Big East. They're not in the AC. But overall, they've got so much potential still, okay? And there's so much hunger for UConn to return to its prominence as a top 10, top 15 program. Hurley is built for that. He is a fiery competitor. He is not the next Jim Calhoun, okay? But he has a lot of those traits that made Calhoun such a terrific leader for this program. And basically, he built UConn up from almost nothing. So the keys here going forward are, you know, he's not Jim Calhoun, and no, UConn is not in the Big East. But can it get back to where it's competing for Sweet 16s on an annual basis? I think that's a reasonable expectation. Give him a little bit of time. For both school and man, I think this really is a near-perfect marriage, and UConn has found its coach for the future.
I love that hire. I love that hire. I think they could not have done any better, and I think that he's doing the right thing. You're right. When they make that call, you've got to take that opportunity. I think that's a great, great hire. Now, after the presser, you're driving to Boston for two Sweet 16 games tonight, starting with West Virginia and Villanova. Jay Wright's crew, Matt, arguably the most impressive in the first weekend, but can West Virginia cause some problems for them?
Oh, they can, and I think that they will, because here's the thing. Javon Carter is such a talent as a senior. And when you look at him versus Jalen Brunson is the leader for player of the year in college basketball this season. But when you stack those two players up next to each other, Jim, you say, who's the better basketball player right now in college? It's Jalen Brunson, but it's not by much, because Carter's the better defender. He's a tremendous point guard overall. And so will their matchup dictate who wins tonight? And if it doesn't, will it be Sagaba Kanate on Mikal Bridges down low? I think this has a great, great potential to be an old-school kind of Big East game in an old Big East town there in Boston. I think Villanova is going to win, but West Virginia can certainly muck this game up, and it's got potential to be the best game we see tonight.
All right, then finally, in the nightcap, you've got Chris Beard and Texas Tech going up against Purdue. You have been high on the Boilermakers ever since the bracket was released. What is the key then for the Red Raiders in that game?
You know what? It might be Keenan Evans's toe. You know, we've got
right.
Body parts can sometimes loom so large in the NCAA tournament. And I know you've had Chris Beard on your show plenty. He's got a lot of talent on this team. He's a tremendous coach. I understand this game doesn't have a lot of just headline appeal because Texas Tech isn't a perennial Final Four contender. Purdue is not obviously battling for Final Fours every single year. But I tell you what, Purdue is shoot it from three. In fact, Boston could be witness to a lot of big-time shot-making tonight, because Villanova is the best offense in the country. Purdue's the best three-point offense in the country. And overall, I think Purdue's going to win this game. And if Texas Tech can steal it from him, Keenan Evans is going to have to play like the superstar he has been so frequently this season. And given the way that Texas Tech played against Florida last weekend, that was the best game no one's talking about. If they play that way again, they're going to be able to steal it. And then one obvious thing we got to touch on here is that Isaac Haas, his brace has been cleared, and you had Purdue engineers like working with materials and fabric that might not even be known to them in our known universe, but they got it done. And the question is, will he play Matt Painter doesn't think that's going to happen. So if Haas is on the floor, how productive will he be? And if he's not productive, they're not going to chance that. So without him, Purdue goes with a smaller look. And to me, that makes for a more entertaining game.
No doubt. An obvious key. And when you say the Tech can steal it, there's no doubt in my mind they can steal that game. They can win that game. And if they win that game, I got to think that Chris Beard is going to make another jungle run. Matt Norlander having a very busy day. He is a senior writer for CBS Sports. Remember, you can hear him on the CBS Eye on College Basketball podcast. Great job, Matt. Good to have you back. Have a great day.
You too, Jim. Thanks.
Matt Norlander breaking it all down. All right, phone lines are open right now, 1-800-636-8686.